You need a sermon guide today. Bible's a good thing to have in hand, but a sermon guide's going to make life way easier for you. So make sure that you have one of those. They're in the bulletin. If you're listening online, they're downloadable, and it'll make it way easier to follow along. You can take notes as you go, circle words, underline phrases, put question marks. Give us a call during the week. We're glad to help you out with whatever you're wrestling with. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this privilege to be able to come before your throne today with your word, with song, with encouragement of one another coming up in life groups, and hopefully this time as well. Thank you for the privilege to know your sovereignty, but also the means that you use as a sovereign God, including prayer. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that we would grow in the knowledge of you, your plan, your desires, your heart, your perspective, and that our thoughts, our words, our prayers would be in unity with you. Have your way in us, have your way through us, through prayer and all things we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in the book of 1 Timothy. Again, you need a sermon guide. They're downloadable if you're online. It's going to help you out a lot. We're going to follow that sermon. At least the plan is. I never know what's going to happen. Y'all know that. But the plan is to really follow that thing closely today. So hopefully that will take place. Here's some of the promises regarding prayer that we plan to cover today. John 4. We're going to be in the upper room for a good part of the time, and then see how it was lived out in the book of Acts. That's the plan anyway. John 14, verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, all these sentences are Jesus speaking to the disciples. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Verse 14 of chapter 14. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. Chapter 15, verse 7, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Verse 16 of chapter 15, I chose you that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. Chapter 16, verse 23, if you ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Chapter 16, verse 24. In my name, ask and you will receive. We good? There's the word of God. A little pesky phrase or beautiful phrase or whatever it is that in my name was in five of the six promises, whatever that means. Evidently, it's a tack on that if you really want your prayer answered, you tack it on. I've had people say, well, you prayed for me, you know, for healing, whatever, but you didn't tack on in my name. Can you do that? Well, what does that even mean? Well, it's there, so okay, all right. Genie in a bottle. Pull him out, you know, rub it, pull him out. Jesus, pull him out whenever you need something. Right? Now, warning, keep him in a bottle most of the time because he's got other things to say about your life. But, you know, when you need him, pull him out, claim the promise. Boom! Heaven's credit card. Whatever your dreams, whatever your aspirations, health, wealth, power, prestige, self-indulgence, happiness, helping and robbing the bank later today. Wait, whatever! There it is. Ask whatever. No limits, apparently. We're going to talk about how to pray and what to expect. I'm not making fun of the words of Jesus, by the way. I'm pointing out what y'all, too many of you, are listening to scripture by these prosperity guys. The words of Jesus out of context. And I want you to grab it today, please, because too many of us, I get, as a pastor, I'm asked all the time about these promises, sick loved ones. I claimed it in Jesus' name, and the guy died. Throw away the Bible. So I'm going to be a little harsh today, because I love you. And I really want you to learn to read, all of us, Scripture in context. All right? Otherwise, it just, you know. By the way, again, we're talking about prayer today. This is a sermon that is good for everybody, even an atheist. Because if you're here and you're an atheist, you know when things get tough, you still pray. All right? So let's just go ahead and talk about it. This is good for everybody. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. This is the passage we're on. And yes, we're slowing down a little bit at the beginning of the year to talk about two things. One, how to fight. Been talking about that. And then two, how to pray. How to fight and pray. Good way to begin the year. We'll kind of pick up speed, hopefully. At least that's the plan in the book of 1 Timothy as we continue through it. But slow down a little bit for those two big ones. How to fight, how to pray. Apply to your family, a marriage, kids, church, community, everything you're involved with, all right? Everything to which God has called you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties, prayers, and again, this is Paul writing to Timothy, who's helping the church in Ephesus to mature and grow up. So these are teachings that he will present to the elders in the church in Ephesus, who will present them to the church. He's wanting to mature the church. First of all, then, I urge that, when we're talking about fighting in this life, I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made for or in behalf of, probably the better translation is in behalf of, but you can use the word for, either works, in behalf of or for, in other words, for the benefit of kings and everybody in prominence or everybody in authority, with three goals in mind. In order that you may lead a life of health, wealth, and power. I lost my place. Let me read that again. In order that you may lead a tranquil and quiet life. Oh, in order that we can live a life of health, wealth, and power. No, in all godliness and dignity. What's the Lord after here? Tranquil life in society that Christians can live with godliness and with dignity, great respect, moral seriousness toward others. This is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Evidently, the great witness before that Jesus calls us to is not health, wealth, and prosperity. It's godliness and dignity, which is best lived in a society that is quiet and organized and controlled. That's the best witness possible, which is different than what we commonly think. Three questions that are left out of the passage, and that's why we're taking a little bit of extra time at the beginning of the year to talk about these things. Well, we're supposed to pray in behalf of all men. What do we pray? And we talked about the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, the six-point outline that Jesus gave to us of things that God wants to talk about. That's listened to the sermon last week. I'm not going to rehash that. Why pray? Numerous reasons, but God appoints the ends, and he also appoints the means, and part of that is our prayer lives. He wants to include us in what he's doing. We'll find more about that today. And then the big theme of the day, what to expect when we pray for everybody, including kings and all in authority. What do we expect? So one of the best places we can go, we could take several months and go through the Gospels, but all of it's summarized in the Upper Room Discourse, John 13 through 17. upper room. Okay, maybe some of that was in the garden, but whatever. 13, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Here's the deal. Jesus has gathered these disciples together, and he is culminating all that he's been teaching them, because he's going to be crucified the next day, and then he's going to be placed in a tomb and then rise again, as he's been telling them, be around for about 40 days. He's going to ascend into heaven. These boys are on their own, and they need to know how to live life on their own, including this whole thing of communication with God. All right, so he's culminating all that he's taught now. So this is a huge passage, and we will see their understanding as well as Jesus's understanding when we look at the history, the book of Acts, how these things were lived out, including their prayer lives. Everybody good? So this is the culmination of what Jesus taught, and then hopefully we'll see how it was lived out in the book of Acts. All right? So that's the idea. The takeaway is how we are to pray and what we are to expect as we pray, as we join God in all that he has for us. All right? That's where we're going. So John 14, we'll spend quite a bit of time in John 14, then we'll speed up after that. John 14. Good, I love it when you speed up, preacher. We'll go slow enough where you'll get it, okay? But it'll start to become redundant, and that's there for a reason, so we really, really get it. All right, so we want to be praying for a life where we can live in godliness and dignity, because that's the best means of witness, that's the platform for witness, and the best means to live a life of godliness and dignity, and where others get saved, is that society be, and we, you know, be tranquil and quiet, all right? So that's why we're not riotous and that kind of thing, and we pray against that kind of nonsense, all right? So with that, shouldn't we, in these promises, if we want godliness and dignity, if we want a quiet society, wait, I know, we'll just claim it in Jesus' name. Fair enough? We will just bind Satan so that it's quiet and we're treated, you know, with dignity. We'll just bind him so there's no persecution, none of that stuff. And we'll just claim godliness and we'll claim the salvation of other people in Jesus' name. Whatever you want, just ask. Now, I sound ridiculous, but this is what too many of us are listening to. So let's go through and see what in the world's going on with this in Jesus' name thing and what we're to expect. John 14 and verse 9. He has washed their feet. He has sent Judas away to betray him. He is beginning to teach them about a life of love for one another. He's mentioned him going to the Father's house and receiving us there. And Thomas, he brings up the Father, and so Thomas, in the midst of that, goes, you know, show us the Father. And here's verse 9. He who has seen me has seen the Father. What's he saying? We're one. You see me, I am deity, you've seen the Father. You see my character, you've seen everything that I'm about, my lifestyle, everything I'm about, my prayer life, you've heard all of it. You've seen the Father's heart. We're in the Father, we're tight, we're one. Indeed, he is God in humanness. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? That little word, I in, that's huge throughout the upper room discourse. There's going to be an invitation for us to be in them and them in us. That is the Trinity. Not that we become part of the Trinity, but that we be tight with them as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are tight. There's an invitation here for all of us to join them in tightness, closest relationship possible. Them and us and them, united forever. And therefore, in one, as we commune and communicate, including in prayer. How closely do my prayers, your prayers, resemble the conversation of the Trinity? Let's find out. He goes on to say, do you not believe, this is verse 10, that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The word, now this is key to the entire thing on prayer. I want you to grab this. I want you to circle this. This is it. The words that I say to you. Now, he just said, I'm God in humanness. I am the Father of one. Now, I want you to think, boys. The words that I say to you, that you've heard me say to people, to you, in prayer, whatever, I do not speak on my own initiative. I want to see every pen rise up, and I want you to be, if you're not doing it, humor me, okay? I do not speak on my own initiative. Everybody circle that. That's key to the entire thing. I don't speak on my own initiative, okay? So what did Jesus pray for? The initiative of the Father. 100% of the time. He never spoke on his own initiative. So that's what Jesus prayed for. By the way, we're going to read a little bit later in chapter 16, the Holy Spirit, who he has sent to dwell in us, who guides us in all that we say and do, does not speak on his own initiative. But he speaks inside of us what Jesus tells him to say, which is what the Father tells him to say. There's a total unity, and God wants us in that. What does a Spirit-filled prayer life look like? Exactly the same as the prayer life of Jesus Christ. And we're going to get to that as we go. I want you to think. Again, this is God, and he doesn't speak on his own initiative. But the Father abiding in me, as we want to abide in you, does his works. Jesus puts together words and works. They just back and forth. One means the other. It's words and works. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, that we have this tight relationship. Otherwise, believe on account of the works. You can believe my words or you can watch my works, my whole life. Truly, truly, I say, and that's going to be the same with you. How do others believe how do others come to faith in Christ? They're going to see you tight with Jesus, not living your own plans of health, power, and prosperity and all that stuff. Verse 12, by the way, if you're healthy, cool. I pray for you to be healthy. If you're wealthy, cool. I'm glad. If you're powerful, prestige, that's great. Cool. Okay, good. It's not about having that or not. It's about what we're fixing our souls on. Truly, I say to you, verse 12, he who believes in me, trusts in me, the works that I do shall he do. Why? Because this is Jesus' heart, and this is our hearts as well. What did Jesus do? What did he ride around in? What did he sleep in? What kind of clothing did he wear? What did he spend his time doing all day long, every day? The works that I do, shall he do. Listen, and greater works than these shall he do. This leads up to this whole thing of prayer. Because I go to the Father, and you will continue to read, and because I go to the Father, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit who will guide you and who will empower you. So we're going to be doing, and we're going to be praying for the same stuff that Jesus did. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. That'll be later on in the upper room. But even greater in magnitude will you do. It'll be like in kind, no doubt, but greater in magnitude. Now, has anybody else walked on the water? Anybody else calm storms? Anybody else feed 5,000 people with a lunch, a Lunchable? Think through the book of Acts, rest of the Bible. No, he's not talking about that. Obviously, we know that from the rest of the Bible. What's this heart about? What's the greater works? We talked about it in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and following. What's he all about? Saving the lost, the spread of the gospel. Jesus never traveled more than about 200 miles from his house. The only thing I can think of that's greater is we will be his body reaching the globe. And we'll do that maybe even without health, wealth, and prosperity as the early church did. Possibly. Think about it. So I want you to be doing the works that I do, living my lifestyle, and even greater. Verse 13, now here we get to the prayer part. Because I'm going to the Father, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's all about the Father's glory. Paul, I want Jesus to be glorified. I want the Father to be glorified, whether by life or by death. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. What is this thing of in my name? Well, back up to verse 10. I don't speak on my own authority. So he's going to guide us in that same kind of prayer life. Verse 12, I'm doing works, and I want you to accomplish those works as well, the same ones that I've been doing. And number 3, verse 13, the Father's glory. So his will plainly is he wants to direct us and for us to speak what he directs us to speak in prayer. He wants us to pray regarding the works, his type of works and greater. And he wants us to pray for the Father's glory, or pray in line with the Father's glory. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Growing up out here on the island, there was something called the IGA. It's where Jenny and Janie's are. Yeah. A number of y'all are, not many of you, a few of you are not many. Wow. Anyway, growing up, remember the airport on the island? Anyway, never mind. Okay, so growing up, there was the IGA. Ernie Cagnina smoked a big stogie cigar, and he was the mayor, and he owned the IGA. And so the locals, including my parents, we lived a couple blocks from the IGA, would have an account there. Check this out. So as a lad, boys, listen to this. As a little feller, I could walk into Jenny and Janie's. It was the IGA. It was a grocery store, all kinds of stuff in there, including candy, by the way. So I could walk in there without a dime. Actually, a dime was without a penny. And I could grab stuff off the shelf, bring it to the counter, and the lady would write down stuff and send me out the door. I didn't give her a dime. Didn't give her a credit card. Didn't give her anything. Just charge it to my dad. Now, I did that. Listen now. I did that in my Father's name. What does that mean? Under his authority, he's authorized me to do that, and under his direction. If I would have come home with a bag of candy or ate the bag of candy before coming home, it's going to be written down. He's going to know. It's going to be all over at that point. Okay, So I only took out of the store what he directed me to take out of the store, period. I wanted other stuff, and he had plenty of money, I thought, right? But I only took what he wanted me to. That's what it is to live and to do things in the name of Jesus. It's under his authority and under his direction. So it's not a little tack on that we put on the end of prayer to make sure we got that little trinket at the end of prayer. That's nonsense. I love you, but that's nonsense. You can verbalize it, that's fine. But I want you to be thinking what Jesus is thinking when he gave it to us. After this, if you want prayer for healing or whatever, please come down. Or financial issues or whatever, please come down. And when we pray in Jesus' name, know that we are praying under the direction of Jesus and under the authority of Jesus. And we're going to ask only what is in his divine will. Let me ask you this question. If your desire was in conflict with the desire of Jesus, which desire would you want met? My wife got terribly ill, facing death. My strong desire would be, I just don't care about anything else, just work the miraculous. Do it, please. That's all I could think about. What if that was in conflict with Jesus' will? Which do I want? That's a really, really hard question. That's a really hard question. But it is the question. or at least one of the questions. Okay, so we pray in Jesus' will. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, we have these words. You do not, this is not in your, you just jot it down. This is not in your outline, I don't think. James 4, verse 2. I was running out of, I need to print a book every time. James 4, verse 2. You do not have because you do not ask. That's the, in other words, you need some stuff, and this church was going through some tough stuff. If we read the whole book of James, they were going through some real hard stuff. And they needed some stuff, but they also had some wants, like we do. You do not have because you do not ask. Listen now. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you might spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses. Full stop. You're acting like whores. That's how God sees it. The stuff on TV is not cute when folks are focusing us on all the material stuff in Jesus' name. It's not cute. You might as well be watching a porno film, because that's what it is in God's eyes. It's pornography. It's these guys who don't understand Scripture in context, who act like peacocks, who act like they know everything there is to know. They strut around, and they got all the bling, and they're tricking you like a pimp would a lady to become a prostitute. And our focus, Romans chapter 1, our focus is on all that God has made and not on God. It's harlotry throughout the Old Testament and the New. Now, I am not saying, let me say this. Whatever's on your heart, pray. Ask God. Well, anything, whatever it is, God knows your heart anyway. Just be honest and open before. You can pray for anything. But you start getting demanding. Like, hey, I got all these promises in Scripture. I'm cashing them in. You really want to think about that. All right, so you ask with wrong motives, to spend it on your own pleasures. You are adulteresses. Friendship with, the word is love. A love and affection for the world is hostility toward God. Anybody living this way has made themselves an enemy of God. I don't care what's on their building outside and what's on their shirt. All right, read James 4 for yourself. What does he say to do? Submit to God. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. You double-minded. Be miserable. Be mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of God, and He'll exalt you at the proper time. Get your heart off of all the stuff, all the blame. Get your heart on Christ and the works of Christ. Everybody good? Sorry for beating around the bush, but Matthew 6, Lord's Prayer, your will be done. That's not just a little cute little phrase. That's the beginning of the prayer. Besides, you know, God, may you be hallowed. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have before Him that we ask anything according to His will. He hears us. God ordains the ends, but He also ordains the means for us to pray in line with His will, which is sometimes really hard to figure out. And yet, the beautiful news is, in Scripture, Jesus is praying for us. The beautiful news in Scripture, Romans chapter 8, God, the Holy Spirit, is praying for us. And in that we can rejoice, because oftentimes we don't know how to pray. Again, be honest, be transparent before God, but you knock off the demanding attitude. Okay? John 15, verse 1. It's this, anyway, John 15, 1. I'm the vine, you're the branches. My Father's vine dresser. I want you to be tight with me. If you're messing up, I'm going to pick you up out of the dirt. And I'm going to, no matter what you're doing, I'm going to continue to prune you. It's going to be painful. but I want you to be tight. I want you to live this solid Christian life in godliness. That's the context for the promise in John 15. If you abide in me, the illustration is the vine and the branches, and my words abide in you. What is it to abide in Christ? Living in unity with Christ, under his authority, under his direction, tight with him, and his words through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God are abiding in us. We're tight with him. Ask whatever you wish. Well, what are you going to wish? If you're filled with the Word of God and how God does things, and his Spirit is guiding you, and he said maybe no, possibly, to a healing, because he wants to use that in some way, because in that is great strength. Do we want his will or our will? A couple of passages more. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is asking God to take this thorn in the flesh, this nagging infirmity, whatever that was. He had numerous things, including eyesight problems, away, and he'd been beaten a number of times, away from him. And God said, what? My strength is perfected in your weakness. Want to live a powerful life? I'm leaving the thorn. I'm leaving the infirmity. God had healed many people through Paul. I'm leaving it. Because you will be a more powerful witness with that infirmity. And he probably had a number of them. Galatians chapter 4, chapter 6. His eyesight, stuff oozing from his eyes. He wasn't pretty, this Paul. Read 2 Corinthians 10. And yet he was powerful because he was living a godly life. And a lot of that godliness came from the pain that was on the inside. He's human as like you and me. He didn't want any of that. But God said, this is the direction for your life. You are a chosen instrument of mine, and this is your direction. And he goes on to say what? Most gladly, therefore, I will boast or joy in my weakness, in my infirmity, that the power of Christ might dwell in me and through me. If you abide in me, John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, are we abiding in Christ? Are we walking tight with him, taking his words in? Or are we caught up by all the American nonsense that's being spoken from too many pulpits? Ask whatever you wish. Well, what are you going to wish? It's going to be in line with the word. It's going to be in line with the will of God. And we're going to ask for healing, as Paul did, but when God says no, it's okay. That becomes now our will. By this is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, even in weakness, and prove to be my disciple. It's the same thing here. What is it to pray in Jesus' name? Pray under his direction and authority. Pray to glorify the Father, whatever glorifies the Father best. Pray for his works to be done in us and through us, for fruit bearing. Same deal. Epaphroditus came near death. God didn't heal him, and God healed him at the very end. I mean, he was almost dead, Philippians chapter 2. For whatever reason, for the witness in some way, the greater works, spreading of the gospel globally. Timothy continued to have stomach problems and frequent ailments. God said, no, I'm going to use it. Trophimus was left sick at Miletus. Why? Because he probably had some doctors and nurses there that needed to have a witness. Along with other people. We don't know. We pray in line with the known way that God works. John chapter 15, verse 16 and following. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. This is John 15, verse 16 and following. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. There it is, the greater works, the fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that is, forever. That whatever, in order that whatever you ask the Father in my name, in other words, under my authority, under my direction, he'll give to you. If it's healing, you'll be healed. If it's not, you won't. But you'll be blessed in the knowledge of God. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Next phrase, but if the world hates you, Noah hated me first. And you're going to see what they're going to be doing to me later tonight and tomorrow. This is the upper room again, right before the trials and the crucifixion. Goes on to say, you will be hated. That's the way it's going to be. You will be persecuted. That's what he goes on to say in verse 20. You're going to be persecuted. Well, why don't we just pray in Jesus' name that Satan be put away and that people not persecute us? You're going to be persecuted. I don't care how you pray. That's the will of the Lord who works all things after his counsel. But you still pray for those persecutors. John 16, verse 1. These things I have spoken to you that you might be kept from stumbling. A lot of us are stumbling because we think life ought to be just grand because we're praying in Jesus' name. There should be no difficulties. And we're stumbling because we're claiming the promises and it's like it's not happening. Jesus says, I'm giving this to you so that you don't stumble. They're going to make you outcast from society. They're going to be killing you. Then what happens to all the opulent toys you claimed in Jesus' name? John chapter, is this fun or what? We having a good time? John 16, verse 12. We're not even close to done. John 16, verse 12. I have many more things to say to you. Yeah, I'm tracking with that. But you can't bear them now. I think y'all can. But when he, that is the Spirit of truth, comes, listen, this is huge. He will guide you into all truth. Right? The Holy Spirit. Spirit-led life. He will guide you into all truth. Listen now. He will not speak on his own initiative. Just like Jesus. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are tight. None of them utter a word in communication, in prayer, in any way, other than it's the will of the other two. And we're invited into that conversation. The Spirit will come and live on the inside of us. He will guide you into truth. He'll guide you how to pray. Verse 14, he will glorify me, Jesus speaking. Jesus glorified the Father. The Holy Spirit's here to glorify me. And your prayer life will reflect that. He will take of mine and disclose it to you. In other words, you're going to pray the way I pray. How did Jesus pray? As we study his life. We look at his life. We look at what he prayed for. And we're going to look at how he prays in just a moment. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, again, that Christ be exalted either in my body, by life, or by death is Paul's application. John chapter 16, verse 23, truly I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you. Listen, in my name. It's not a tack on. In other words, under my authority, under my direction. That's what in my name clearly means. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. In other words, Jesus has been doing all the work. But I'm fixing to leave. Now, after I leave, I want you to pray in my name. What does that mean? Boys, I'm going to be gone, but the Holy Spirit will be in you. I want you to pray under my direction and in my authority. That's how I want you to pray. That's how I want you to live. You live that way in greater works. Global evangelization will you do. That's what he's talking about. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name, because I've been with you. Ask and you will receive, that you may live a life of joy, even in the midst of pain and loss. We live joyously. Last words of the upper room discourse before Jesus' prayer, John 16, verse 33. Truly, I'm sorry, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. I don't care what you claim in my name. Take courage. I have overcome the world. Here's how Jesus prays for us, John 17. The whole thing is a prayer regarding his communion with the Father, and initially it's kind of a Father, Son, Holy Spirit thing. Then he transitions into praying for us. and you can read through this on your own. This is what I have gleaned from how he prays for us specifically. Other implications for sure, but this is more, these are the direct requests. Verse 11, Holy Father, keep them in thy name. In other words, keep them under your authority and direction, that they might be tight, that they might be one with us. Verse 15, I'm not asking you to remove them from the world. They're going to have tribulation in the world. Troubles, distresses, difficult stuff's going to break, going to get sick. Keep them from the evil one, his temptations to suck them away. Verse 17, sanctify them, set them apart, grow them in the truth. Your word is truth. Looking for the health, wealth, and prosperity. I know it's coming up. Verse 20, I'm praying that they may be one as we are one. Verse 21, check this out. I'm praying that they may be one even as you are in me and I'm in you, that they also may be in us. What does that mean? That we're tight. And our communion is tight. Goes on in verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou have given me, be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. Do I pray like Jesus? That's what he prayed for. Doesn't mean you can't pray for other things, but that was his focus, this, along with the Lord's Prayer. For what did the disciples pray? I'm glad you asked. We're going to bring this plane into a landing with just a few mentions of the book of Acts, and we'll call it good. After that, what should the disciples expect? Jesus goes back into heaven, chapter 1, chapter 2, there they are. Well, they are, chapter 1, after Jesus goes back into heaven, they're devoting themselves to prayer, verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 4, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with God. There's that tightness we've been taught he was praying for. Verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to prayer. I'm skipping a lot, I know, but I'm giving you the overall what's going on. And so far, things not too bad. Although, they're going to be facing, they got to move in together because they don't have enough money. But not too bad. And then they're picked up. Some of the leaders, a couple of leaders are picked up, taken before the Supreme Court. Rap sheet starts. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They witness. That means they're under the guidance of Jesus. They witness. And they're warned to never talk about Jesus again. Here comes the mounting persecution now. They come back to the church. They lift their voices before God in one accord. They pray. Result of prayer, religious leadership is still, the civil religious leadership is still hacked off. Chapter 5, they're picked up again. They're told again to speak no more in Jesus' name. They're flogged, verse 40. That means beaten with whips. That is the 12 leaders. They're flogged, released, told to talk about not speak anymore in the name of Jesus. They left rejoicing. They continued to do so. Chapter 6, they were devoting themselves to prayer. See that in verse 4. They devoted themselves to prayer. Even though it didn't seem to be working. Or was it? Church is growing. They're developing. They're becoming more like Jesus. Chapter 7, three illustrations we'll close with. One is Stephen and Paul. Stephen is taken. He's put to death. One of their deacons, he's put to death, and he prays for the leadership that Jesus would not hold this charge against them. The result, chapter 8, verse 1 and following, Paul, one of the leaders, begins persecuting the church. They have to flee. They had to leave all their lavish belongings. Maybe they were able to take big semi-trucks, all their lavish belongings with them. I don't know, but they had to flee, right? Okay, and they were being pursued. People were being drug off, men and women alike being drug off from their homes, put in prison. And therefore, they continue to speak the word of God. Chapter 8, verse 14, God's work in Samaria. Don't have time to go through that. Chapter 9, chapter 9, this is huge. Paul's salvation. Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the goats. And he told, God told Ananias, verse 15 of chapter 9, Paul is a chosen instrument of mine. That's my ordained means. My ordained ends. But the ordained means was for you to pray for him. You did, others did, and he has now become a Christian by the power of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 10 is about Cornelius. All began with prayer about him and his household, one of the leaders becoming a believer, and it began with prayer, both his and Peter's. And then chapter 12, closing that, this is the last illustration, King Herod grabs James, has him put to death. And he saw that it pleased the Jews. In other words, a lot of people in the area didn't like him. Wanted them all to be put to death. Didn't like him. Well, shouldn't they just claim friendship with the society in Jesus' name? He's put to death. And so the religious leader that Herod was at this time, he goes, I'll grab Peter, which he did. Puts him in prison. Verse 5, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church. Well, what in the, why? They prayed for James and God let them kill James. Why are they praying for Peter? By this time, why don't they just give up? God doesn't answer prayer. And yet they were devoted to prayer through their last days, each of them. Why? God ordains the ends, but God ordains the means as well, which includes your prayer life and mine. And so y'all know the story, hopefully, from Sunday school or wherever. Peter is released because prayer was being made for him. Herod, by God's design, is taken out of the scene. God kills him a little bit later. And then the last words that we'll read today, Acts chapter 12 and verse 24. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. Well, what's the message? What's the big idea? What do we do with this? We need to follow the invitation of Jesus and the example of the early church. We need to take God up on the invitation to be the means or part of the means to his ends, to save our neighbors, to save the globe, every language, culture, group on the globe. We pray toward that end. We don't always know what that looks like. It might mean you have a spouse that is ill. And you desperately, all you can think about is, and we do in this congregation. All you can think about is for God to heal them. It's all that matters. You can't think about the glow. That's all that matters. And yet, I can tell you from my little tiny brief experience at Moffitt, there are so many people that need to see a quiet life in godliness and dignity in all kinds of circles, that only if you have cancer or whatever the infirmity is that these people are met. And the watching neighbors and the watching family members, the family, the grandchildren that are going, I ain't trusting your God. Look, we're having a good time, me and my friends. We don't need... And yet they start after a while adding up your life with godliness and with dignity, even if your spouse is going through Alzheimer's. And that list can go on and on and on. And I don't want that for any of us. And if you know, whatever it is, again, we can have prayer time that we invite you down for prayer, for healing, for financial problems, for raises, for all of that's fine. But is it his will or my will that consumes me? Do I want to be tight with God, or is God, does Jesus exist to be a genie in a bottle that I can keep there I don't want to mess with my life. It's my life. And I can rub the bottle when I need him and claim the promise. Which is it? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this great privilege that we have to have gathered together for a few minutes in your name, under your direction, under your authority. Father, I pray that you'd keep us from prostitution, from whoredom, from being an adulterous church. I pray that you would purify us, that we would live with godliness and dignity, that our neighbors might see Christ from people that are so tight with Christ that it's all about his will, and that's all that matters. Oh, work that miracle in us and through us and among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This area is open. If you want prayer regarding anything, we do encourage you to come down. We would like to pray with you. And please do not leave here without trusting Christ as your Savior. If you're not sure what that looks like, please, we're begging you, come down, and we'll be glad to help you with that. Trust Christ as Savior. Give up religion. Trust Christ. Receive the gift of eternal life. He is your risen King. He is your risen Savior. Trust him. God bless each one of you, and God make you a blessing.